You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious and not at all heart-wrenching episode of the Assembly Call Us Today. Your Indiana Hoosiers win in overtime 75-73 over the Michigan Wolverines. That moves IU to 21-10 on the season and 12-8 in the Big Ten, where they will be the 2 or the 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, depending upon what Northwestern does at Rutgers. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms, here with Ryan Phillips, and we'll break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. This game, the banner moment was just it ending. Quite honestly,
because the loud sigh of relief from all of Hoosier Nation at the end of that game.
I guess what I will say as the banner moment, and it's a little bit odd as we typically do on games like this, we will wait till the senior speeches are over, which is probably good as my heart rate was able to return to a normal level. I think a lot of plays you could pick on the stretch. Certainly the Jalen Hood-Schifino three that tied it, and eventually forced overtime. But, man, the play of the seniors in key stretches down the stretch, Race Thompson made some huge shots and was absolutely ready to vomit into a trash can as he's standing there at the free throw line in the waning moments with chances to ice the game, and just feeling for him what, you know, that moment was like, and made just a couple just awesome defensive plays at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime.
His best game of the season.
Yeah, and just for him to be able to come through so big in that game and to have him standing there, and if this had not been a win in his senior game, and a senior day game, and one that he played so well, that would have been just absolutely gut-wrenching. And Trace Jackson-Davis was, they cleared out some things. They tried to do some things differently to get him opportunities against Hunter Dickinson. And it took him a lot of shots, probably maybe a less efficient performance than we're used to from Trace, but 27 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Not a bad way for him to close out his career in Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And Miller Kopp hit a big two-pointer in overtime that was close to being a three. Made some good hustle plays from a rebounding standpoint. Just thought those guys made clutch plays down the stretch. A lot of guys really stepped up in a game where Trey Galloway fouled out. We'll talk more about that later. But to me, banner moment was the culmination of what these seniors had done, in the way that they played a major part in a comeback that we wish IU didn't have to make in this game, but it proved to be necessary. So kudos to them for getting it done as they close out their careers at Assembly Hall. So our banner moment, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, who is now in their 6th season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their 2nd as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. As you surely know by now, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, with beloved logos like 2 different versions of the Bison, the great new women's Big Ten Champs shirt that just came out, and any number of great IU products. So if you support other college teams, that's okay. Homefield has something for them as well. Their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools with unique vintage logos for all of them. Everyone here on the show is a huge fan of Homefield. Wears it often, for sure, although everybody hopefully wore whatever they had lucky and changed into it, at least in the second half of today's game. That is for sure. Needed a little home field magic to bring that one home. But no matter what you buy, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through the Kelley School of Business. And what can be better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME to get 15% off your entire first order. Again, that's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, that website, homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, it's time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team, which for now is Ryan Phillips. Jared may join us a little bit later. Coach was at the game and may join us as well. So we'll see if anybody else hops on with us. But Ryan, there was probably some ranting to be had at various points of this game about various aspects of the game. Probably another one where a little bit of time passing since the game, maybe this will be a calmer version of maybe some things that you might have said earlier during the game, but thoughts on the victory tonight.
Yeah, it just comes down to leadership for me, and I thought that Indiana started really well. I mean, I didn't think that they did, and they played with a lot of energy, and specifically defensively, coming off that horrid performance against Iowa defensively. I thought the defense was lights out early, not allowing straight line drives, doubling Dickinson a bit, or at least show doubling him and closing out to threes, and Michigan was not hitting his shots. And then the last, it seemed about the last 4 minutes of the first half, Michigan really only punished them for about the last 3 minutes, but about the last 4 or 5 minutes, they kind of relaxed defensively. And it was almost like, we've got a big lead, we're good. I think they went up 14 at one point. I think that was the max. And they just relaxed. And Michigan punched him in the mouth, and Indiana kind of wilted. And for about 10 minutes there, it was a complete lack of leadership. But then what this team did that is different from other Indiana teams we've seen is they showed the heart and toughness to take that punch, get themselves off the mat, and come back. And the guys who did it were Miller Kopp hit a huge shot in the run in that comeback. Trace Jackson Davis did what he always does. Race Thompson had his best game of the season on both ends. The defensive steals he had tonight, he had 4 steals tonight. All of them were enormous. Yeah, Jalen Huccifino is now part of the leadership group. I mean, he may be a freshman, but he's not. I mean, it's that old thing at the end of the season, you're not a freshman here. He's still a freshman. But he knocked down a three. How about Tamar Bates, who's been here for 2 years, stepped up, hit some big shots for Indiana. The guy, we have seen him buried on the bench for a couple games. He had to be out there because Trey Galloway wasn't out there. He stepped up and hit some big shots. And what happened, the biggest thing that happened was that starting four plus Tamar stopped Michigan from the insane streak of offense they were on. They stopped the straight line drives. They, you know, bowed up on Dickinson. They closed out to threes. They overplayed, made them start their offense further back. That was leadership. And that comes from the bench too. I think the coaching staff, whatever they did to get those guys turned around, it worked. Because this is a group that starting five has played a lot this year. And you can see them be tired at times. You want to know why Race Thompson missed those free throws late? He had no legs left. He was tired. Trace Jackson Davis missed the front end of missed free throws at the end. He was tired. That happens. But these guys still just gutted up and won the game and fought through it. And it was a great story to end on Senior Day. And it's great that they did it. Now they get the 2 or 3 seed in the Big Ten, depending on what Northwestern does. Please, Rutgers, help us out. It'd be great. I don't think I've ever said that before. But it was leadership. And that's what it was. And that's what this team has that Indiana hasn't had for what seems like a decade, is real leadership up top. And those guys stepped up. Whereas they didn't step up against Iowa, they absolutely did today.
Yeah, this is one that was, it felt like about 3 games inside the game, as you talked about. And maybe that's the easiest way to talk about this one. You know, I think that at the beginning, IU definitely came out with a much different energy than what they had at the beginning of the Iowa game, which you would 100% expect. But it was a game that, even when they were playing well, felt a little bit like other games, where some chances to extend the lead.
Yep.
I mean, Michigan was, I won't say they were looking for a reason to bail in the game, but there was every reason
it
for them.
That
things
way.
Started to go poorly. I mean, once IU got ahead and some of those stretches, when they really extended the lead, they were taking some 4 shots and doing that. And IU really struggled to be able to make open threes in that stretch.
The offense wasn't great in the first half. I mean,
no,
they had the lead
the
because they
just
played
so
defense.
Good that, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it was, and it
they
got
did so many empty trips. I mean,
yeah, and even some of the plays they scored on were like Race. There was a possession that just went absolutely nowhere. He ended up getting an and one. I think he missed the free throw, but I mean that made it 19-11. But it was just an absolute, just disaster of a possession as you were going.
Yeah,
nobody doing
first
anything,
half.
And then he just kind of throws it at the basket, and it's like. It went in, but it was a little bit, but you also had shots that were really good in there, or they were rush shots. Like Kopp took a three, but he was off balance. You know, Bates
yeah,
came
the
in.
Kopp in the first half was too fired up. He was way too fired up, and he was overshooting. It was very obvious.
He was everywhere. He was long.
He was
short. He was
over rotating his body, just rushing. Like it was senior night. He was fired up, and you know, probably got chewed in practice this week, and they want to step up and show something. So a couple guys were going a little too fast early. That happened to Trey Galloway too.
Yeah, 100%. So I thought early on they were succeeding in spite of themselves on offense and being able to take advantage of what they were doing defensively to really build the lead. And then, you know, at the end of the half, both Trey and Huccifino had 2 fouls. And, kind of rode it out with Trey for a good while, eventually brought Huchefino back in toward the end of the half. I think the thought was they'd played well enough, they'd built a little bit of a lead, and maybe that those guys in there could really take a bigger lead into halftime. And it felt to me like what happened was you had two guys who didn't want to get called for ticky-tack fouls on the perimeter, and the ball pressure that had really been important for IU getting Michigan out of rhythm went away. Michigan got comfortable, much like IU let Iowa get comfortable. Bufkin hit a couple shots, and then, you know, the same things that IU was doing on the offensive end just made a bigger difference because Michigan was scoring and really let them get confidence going into halftime. Even, you know, I think IU took a timeout once it got down to 10, and it was like, all right, can you right the ship and do that? And then basically everything that could go wrong went wrong, including Galloway getting a foul, his third foul late in the half on a play that, you know, cut the lead down even further. And I think in that stretch, it just shows you how quickly things can turn for this team, that it was just a couple plays and it really got them out of the rhythm. And I think what it highlighted there was the lack of backcourt depth that we've talked about before. I know this is sounded like a super negative start to this, and we'll get to the part where they came back. But I do think you can't overlook the fact that this game, in about a little over 10 minutes of game time, had about a 25-point swing from a 14-point lead to an 11-point deficit. And some of that, I think, is what you said, is guys being tired. But I also thought, you know, some of the things defensively, just like somebody flipped a switch and they turned off.
It snowballed. It snowballed real quick. It's interesting. You look at the first half, and we're talking about how, you know, they had the lead. The first half, they had a 14-point lead at one point, but they averaged 0.9 points per possession. You know, it wasn't good. Michigan was just worse. And so once the other team catches fire, if you're not in a good rhythm offensively, it's hard to flip that switch. And at times, you're going to have, you know, a streak of failure on defense, but you need to be able to answer the other team scoring. And that's what Indiana couldn't do for a long stretch, late in the first half, beginning of the second half. They just couldn't answer what Michigan was doing. And at times, they'd score and they'd trade a 2 for a 3. And, you know, I just felt like, you're right, it did. It snowballed on them, and it came to the point where they were just scrambling to do anything. They were leaving guys open. Rotations were slow. And then when it got bad was the straight line drive. And Michigan has very talented players. And you look at Michigan, you look at those guys, that team, their athleticism and their ability. When they get hot, they can beat anybody. I think they can beat anybody nationally. No matter what they're up against, if they're hot, they've got the guys to beat anybody. The key is throwing them off balance, not letting them get comfortable, and Indiana let them get comfortable for a while, and especially to start the second half. That was most evident to start the second half, was Michigan got a couple buckets and then just looked like, this is our home floor, we're going to dominate. And luckily, Indiana was able to turn that around, but it was a rough stretch for a while. I mean, again, we're getting to the positive, because when they did flip the switch defensively, it was like a different team.
Yeah, so we'll kind of talk about, yeah, the beginning of the second half was basically a carryover of the end of the first half. And it was one of those where you think you want to go in and regroup at halftime, and that did not seem to happen exactly. and really, really struggled. Michigan hit a bunch of threes at the beginning of the half to give them a lot of momentum. IU, at that point, had hit one three that was by none other than Race Thompson early in the game, and had not made a three since then, despite getting a lot of quality looks as they went through there. And so as you get into the second half, I think the biggest point that Michigan got it to was 11 at 49-38. And that was the play on which Galloway got his fourth foul, where Dickinson almost had him in a headlock at some point on getting the rebound. And then it's one of those where you'd always like to know, if I'm the player in that situation, what could I have done differently to avoid getting called for a foul? In that scenario, I truly have no idea. Nevertheless.
Yeah, that's a situation where if you're not going to call Dickinson for over the back, and quite frankly, this is what, in an official's mind, I don't think it was over the back. I think he's just taller.
He's just so much bigger than him, yeah.
Yeah, that he just reached up and grabbed it. He didn't push Gallo or anything. He just got the ball. And I think the official's saying, well, if I'm not going to call over the back there, just visually, I've got to call something. And so he called the foul on Galloway after the basket. Now, look, if Dickinson doesn't make that basket, maybe you make the call, but it was an easy it was just a bad shot. It was an anticipation call, and it was these guys are close to each other, I have to call it one way or the other. It's a lot of block charge calls could just go as no calls. But guys think there's contact, I got to call something, and that's not necessarily the case. So it was one of those, and it, again, it was just such a bad call. I don't know what to tell you. It was a horrible, horrible call.
Yeah, it actually looking at my notes, it did get up to 12 at one point. A couple possessions later, Michigan hit a three, and then
Indiana got it
52-40 was the biggest they got from Michigan. But from there, so now we get to the good part. So this is where you started to at least claw back into it a little bit. They got it down to 9 by the end of that segment. TJD was able to make a shot and get fouled. Huchifino got that to the free throw line. It was like they started to do that. Tamar Bates hit a big three.
The Bates and Kopp threes turned it for me, yeah, I think.
Yeah, the Bates three made it 54-45, got it back to 9. Then you come out of that. TJD gets a third on Dickinson. I don't know that he ever got a fourth, to be honest with you, but I'll leave that alone. But you really saw TJD in that stretch assert himself a bit. I guess he had a kind of a miss where he threw it off the backboard, got it back to himself for a dunk. Made some plays, started to get a little more comfortable. IU did a lot of trying to clear out for TJD on the side. That was more late in the game. But what did you see that they were trying to do things differently? Because I thought they struggled to really – they went to him early in the game. He got into a little bit of a rhythm. And then I felt like there was a middle stretch where he really couldn't get –
he wasn't getting enough touches. If he was getting a touch, it was beyond the three-point line in the dribble handoff. And to give Michigan credit, they were making it hard to get the ball to him. And so Indiana's adjustment was, well, just get the ball to him far away from the back. We don't care. You don't get it to him in the post-up. Just throw it wide, let him go out and collect, and then work. But in the first half, it looked like if he didn't get it posted up, they weren't going to give it to him, or he was going to have it from the top of the key. Now, we like him. We've repeatedly said we like him with the ball at the top of the key, especially against stationary defenders where he can go to work. But look, when Dickinson was on him, Dickinson's a tough guy to play against just because he's so big and he has those long arms. It's really difficult. I mean, even though Trace is a better, more skilled player, I think, and a guy who is quicker and all of that stuff, it's hard to play against a guy who's basically 7 feet tall with really long arms, no matter how good you are. That's difficult. And so it's hard to get shots that way. And so Indiana did isolate him. They made the right move. When they made that run late, they started getting the ball out wide. They just let him go, and when Dickinson got another foul, they started putting other guys on them. So he was guarding Race Thompson. It worked out in Indiana's favor. Trace had some incredible finishes around the rim, as we've seen lately around the, it's really funny. We were sold that he'd have a right hand, midway through his freshman year. And now he's finally finishing with his right hand, but doing it in all these, it's not a straight finish. It's these crazy acrobatic around the hoop layups, and he's making them. So I think that was it. But what really did it for Indiana was those guys hitting jumpers. Malik Renew hit a couple free throws in a clutch spot. Kopp hit that three-pointer to cut it to 6. And when he cut it to 6, that's when Michigan really started feeling the pressure. And Kopp, made a great, look-off pass. The defender went with his look-off, and he nailed that 3. And that was big. I mean, that was at that point, the crowd got into it, and you felt like Michigan was on its back foot.
Yeah,
that was with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, that was the next section that I was going to talk about, because they come out of the timeout, and I actually had the Galloway, that particular foul on him wrong. He got his fourth early. When he fouled out was the one with Dickinson that way. But
oh, that's right. Yeah, he fouled the guy dunking from behind. Yeah.
Yeah, so Kopp hits that 3. That goes into the the under 8 timeout there. Rick comes out of that. Race gets a hook shot. Nice pass to Race from TJD. And those guys really had it working. And it was kind of stretch. It was like Race needs to get back in the game at some point. Renew had made a couple plays, but I think defensively was struggling a little bit. And
he's like TJD. He's a little undersized for a straight post. And so in some matchups, I think that next year, midway through next year, he'll be fine in that situation, finding angles. But as a freshman, it's tough, to go up against those guys when you're not 6'11".
Yeah. Yep, 100%. And so it just seemed like a good spot for Race. He responded and did well. But then, they get that putback, get it up to 4. Bates immediately comes in. Pressure's on him to come in for Galloway. Hits a 3 right away. That was a huge one. And huge. We've talked so many times about three-point shooting with this team and all they need to take more, all those things that we've just beaten into the ground over the course of the season. But, man, those were key plays that – the crowd was just waiting. They wanted any reason to get back in the game and get excited and whatever. And I used 4 of 6 from 3 in the second half. Probably could have taken more. I thought they ran themselves out of a couple ones. But when we talk about the importance of three-point shooting, the Kopp 3, the Bates 3 in that scenario, obviously the one Huchifino hits late to tie it is is huge for different reasons. But that's why we talk about that stuff, because in a game like that, and that was one of the things that's frustrating about the Iowa game, of just the continuation of not trying to get those shots that will just light the building up.
It's such a momentum changer.
That was a huge spot from Tamar Bates. Just, I mean, for a guy who had really struggled in the game at that point, he'd hit another three earlier, but had really, really struggled. Really came out, played with some great effort in that stretch. Almost had a putback tip in that I have no idea how it didn't go in. But
yeah, he just had too much momentum.
Yeah. I know you wanted to add something on the three-point shooting before we kind of get to the next
one. Yeah, well, what I think is amazing is, and what typifies what this game was, what the story of this game for me is, with 10:45 left, that was when Trace threw the ball off the backboard and dunked it. That cut it to seven. Michigan got a three-pointer. Then the scoring for Indiana was Malik Renaud had two free throws. Kopp hit a three. Race had a hook shot. Race had a dunk and a free throw. And then where is the next one? And then it's the three-pointer by Bates. So it was people other than Trace Jackson Davis and Jalen Huccifino scoring in that stretch to get Indiana closer. And when Bates hit that shot with 5:45 left, it's 63-62 Michigan. It's a one-point game. At that point, you're in it. At that point, you know, no matter what happens, they're not going to be more than 3 points ahead of you or 4 points ahead of you. And you know that, and you know you're in the game. And so that stretch of scoring where Trace and Jalen Huccifino weren't the only guys you're looking towards is key. And we've said it all year. This role player group, whether they're bench or starters, the role player group is the difference for Indiana. And that's the ceiling. With two great studs, you can be really good, but there is a hard ceiling on where you can go. It's about those other guys stepping up. Trey Galloway stepped up lately. Miller's been hitting more shots, you know, but how much are you going to get from those guys? And tonight, those guys help bring them back and put them in a position to win the game.
Yeah, 100%. And at that point, get to the under four at 65-62. I know this is not the normal format of just kind of going through the game, but like I said, this was like games within the game.
Yeah,
so there really probably aren't like storylines as much as just this was a crazy game, and so this felt like the right way to go through it. So you get, you're down three coming out of the under four timeout, and, you know, Michigan misses the front end of a 1-1 coming out of that, but back taps the rebound, eventually gets a shot clock violation. This was a stretch of IU's defense down the stretch in this area was unbelievable. From here until the end, they had a lot of issues giving up offensive rebounds. That was one of the last offensive rebounds I feel like Michigan got, but also scared the crap out of me for the strategy to foul up three late in the game, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but they do that. But then TJD really took over in that stretch. Like you said, there was a stretch there where it was other guys doing it. But Trace had a nice move inside, then had a crazy reverse where they, isolated him on the wing, gets under and around. Just ridiculous to be able to get the ball off and have it. They tried to do the same thing again on the next position, like isolate him, but he got blocked. And so then it's kind of feeling like, okay, Michigan gets bailed out on a foul call at the end of the shot clock, which was, I did not, you know, whatever. They foul TJD, he misses the front end, and then Dickinson makes a hook shot deep in the paint, and it's 69-66 with under a minute to go. But Huccifino,
at that point, I will say, at that point it felt like, oh no, like he came all the way back and they've got their arm up. But
yeah, well, Michigan,
Mr. Wonderful,
Michigan had played a zone and, you know, some stretches there, and IU still was able to get the ball inside, but just took him a little while. And basically they got Huccifino an open shot at the top of the key. He shoots it over Dickinson, I believe, who was trying to close out at him.
Just an incredible ballsy shot right there.
Yeah, man.
That's a superstar. That's a lottery pick shot.
Yeah.
It just is.
And Jalen was, I mean, he was fine. He ended up with 13 points, but only had two assists. They did a good job really trying to bottle him up and keep him going to the sideline, not letting him get to the middle of the court. So they're kind of icing some of the ball screens that way. But, you know, they would – you would kind of get lobs to TJD at the top, and then he'd try to curl off of him on a handoff, and they were able to get some things that way, but just not a ton of the normal plays and the pick and roll from Jalen, but a huge shot there. And then the first of two great Race Thompson plays.
Amazing.
Gets an unbelievable, you know, steals it, goes down on the break, and it's one of those where you can't call a timeout when you got a 2-on-1 break, although Jet Howard really hustled back to get into play and cut off any option that Race had to be able to throw a pass to, I think it was Tamar, who was going with him. you know, Race tries to kind of change hands in the air, misses the shot. I thought he was fouled in the first, you know, live. Did not appear that way.
It was a great defensive play.
On replay.
And honestly, it's just bad luck. That was in and out. I mean, that's just just 1 millimeter one way or the other. It's in, you know, and it's.
But I'll give credit to Huchefino on the next possession to close out regulation. Michigan was a little discombobulated. They'd taken a timeout. They were, you know, trying to get a shot off. He had a really good late challenge on Dickinson, who took a three at the end, and he did a good job recovering, getting out to him. They missed a shot. It goes to overtime.
Well, before it went to overtime, what happened?
What's that?
The half court pass before it went to overtime.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Half court pass they missed in the Trace. Well,
Trace nearly made his first 3-pointer of his IU career. So that would have been something. But and then IU comes out in the overtime. I thought just the defense continued in that stretch. They gave up a Dickinson three. I'm not sure.
After they were up six, I
think.
Yeah.
They gave
and Trace
up Dickinson
just
three,
didn't
but
close
I don't
them
think
out
gave
fast.
Up a. Yeah, and I guess they gave up that free throw and I guess another basket somewhere along the way. But yeah, Race was big in the top of that. It took a really tough shot.
No,
over
it was just
Dickinson.
By the way, it was just the three and the free throw. That's all they gave up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, you're right. 75-73. Yeah, Race makes a tough shot over Dickinson to start.
Great. Just right off the bat, took it, said, I'm going to go take it. The hustle to win the tip, too, was big, I thought.
I think that was Bates ran that down, I believe.
He did, and the ball was just kind of loose.
Odd,
and either team could have gotten it, and he just hustled to get it. I thought that was huge to sort of establish yourself. And also, I texted a buddy as we went to overtime. I said, I'd rather be us in overtime because we had the comeback, the momentum. Indiana was on the momentum track, and you always want to go with the team that tied it up, I think, rather than the team that had the lead previously. And so getting that and establishing yourself quickly, I thought was really important.
Yeah, and it was really one where it felt a little bit like the beginning of the game. There were some other missed opportunities to extend the lead because IU's defense was just suffocating in the overtime. And both teams, as you said, I think I give the edge to the home team and the team that came back. Everybody was tired at that point. I don't think anybody had subbed in God knows how long. And IU certainly had not subbed since Galloway fouled out. And I'm not – and they had – most of the other four guys had not been subbed out a long time before that either. Michigan, pretty similar. But TJ eventually
pretty much
fouled.
Going with the same five guys.
Kopp hits a long two in the corner.
Great pass by Trace, by the way.
Yeah,
I didn't even see that.
Except it wasn't a three. I go, this would be a great spot for Kopp to hit a three and put him up seven. Yeah. But he was on the line.
So close to a three.
But so they had that. But then really from there, just couldn't kind of get that next basket to put it away.
Didn't score the last 221 of the game.
But the defense was amazing. Race Thompson again gets a steal from Dickinson. And, you know, like I said on the top, just was dying for him missing those free throws. Missed the first one long, missed the second one short. IU fouled up three with 6 seconds left, which, again, terrified me because Michigan, until those last few minutes, had been so good on the offensive glass. But I guess if your philosophy is your philosophy and if that's what you want to do, and they get that, Race goes in, misses again, and IU gets a turnover on the last possession when they basically throw it into the back of Hunter Dickinson. But, man, what a – what a swing of momentum in the game, but just a tremendous job to build the lead, terrible job to lose it, and a great job to come back and find a way to win it in overtime. And
also on that last possession, the heads up nature of jumping in by Tamar Bates to steal that. I don't think they would have gotten anything out of it anyway, but don't let Dickinson get his hands on the ball. He wasn't looking. The ball's loose. Get in there right away. And, you know, then there was the question of whether or not Dickinson fouled him in time, but he clearly didn't. So that was the ball game. But again, Tamar Bates hit a couple shots. I thought he played incredible defense in the second half when he was in there after Galloway was out. I thought he did a great job today. And it feels like for him, and there's a lot of other guys like this, but if you make a shot, it just puts you in the game. And you are way more locked in. And I think he is as clear an example of that as anybody we've ever seen at IU.
Yep, 100%. So I kind of end with this thought about the team. You know, this feels like we've said this a number of times this year. This is a game that previous vintages of IU teams would not have won.
It would have been a 20-point loss.
So as you think about that, I mean, that I think it's happened enough this season. We've said that enough that there's something to it. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's leadership. I think finally having a great veteran core. And look, I say this a lot, and I was a big admirer of Jay Wright's Villanova teams. And what they would do was have star athlete, you know, guys who were going to go to the NBA, but they'd also have a group of guys who were seniors or juniors and were tough as hell and had been around and had battled in the Big East and had, you know, done all of that stuff. Indiana has that this year with a star freshman who's going to be a first-round draft pick, Jalen Huchefino, and then a bunch of guys who were battle-tested. I mean, Miller Kopp set the record for most Big Ten games in a career today. You know, Trace Jackson Davis is, you know, Race Thompson's played as many Big Ten games as anybody in Indiana history. Trace Jackson Davis is a four-year starter and leader on the team. When you have those guys and when you have that mentality of we've been here before, even if you haven't been here with success, there's just a different attitude. And these guys are battle tested. They went on, I think that win, that run last year at the Big Ten tournament and getting the NCAA tournament was invaluable for those guys just to have that level of success and be like, we can replicate that. And I think that's what it is. They've had success and they're going to continue to push and they know they can win these games. They know they can compete with anybody if they play. And I wrote that column at the beginning of the year about how talented this team was. It's one of the most talented teams Indiana has had in the last couple decades. They have the talent. They just have to put it to good use. And, you know, some nights they've looked worn down, but skill-wise, I mean, they're a better team than Michigan. You know, they may not be better skilled. They may not have better players, but they're a better team. And all they had to do was want to win this game, and they did late, and they came away with the win.
Yeah, I think the experience from last year, and I think even being able to come out on top of some of these other games this season, this team gets in games like this. Now, you know, the Iowa game where you're not really competitive, and I think it's been the difference. You know, a lot of the games they've lost, they've really had stretches where they were just non-competitive, essentially. Yeah. And so that belief never really even gets a chance to come into play. But I think for these guys on a game like this, you know, just kind of chipped away at it. There wasn't some massive run that allowed them to get back in the game once it was, you know, once they got down by 12. They just chipped away. We got a little bit closer and a little bit closer at each of the media timeouts, but it wasn't ever this major run like what Michigan had at the end of the half. But I do think that belief and that experience and being able to come back in some of these games has been present at times. And I think that becomes important as you get into tournament play of being able to keep yourself in the game and go through it that way. So, all right. Well, that was maybe a different format of our first segment, but I thought was worthwhile given.
And the longest one I think we've had all year. But perhaps. Hey, you know what?
Well, since we've taken
senior day,
we've probably taken most of the meaningful moments. So the next segment will be incredibly short. So it'll be fine. We'll make up for it on the
meaningful moment will be the first segment when we took all the meaningful moments. Next
so perfect. All right. All right. Well, that'll do it for the first segment. We'll come back. We'll talk meaningful moments. We'll dig into the stats when we come back here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, this is Max Bielfeldt, Big Ten champ and better than advertised Sixth Man of the Year in 2016. And speaking of better than advertised, join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
All right. Figured we had to throw Max Bielfeldt in there with the Michigan game. Although I would have gone for one of those runs that they went on against Michigan, the 24-0 run or whatever it was.
Hell yeah.
That was not how IU came back today. That would have been a great way for this game to play out at some point, but it was not to be. We missed out on how exciting it was. So welcome back to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Ryan Phillips, and we are breaking down Indiana's 75-73 overtime win over Michigan. It's time for today's meaningful moment that you might have missed, which is brought to you by our friends at the Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. Again, that's HoosierTicketProject.org. All right, so we've got meaningful moments that you might have missed. Now, it's possible that the way I chose to do the first segment of the show has basically robbed us of any opportunity to talk meaningful moments here, since we've talked about so many of the key plays. I will say I'm going to use this to highlight a couple guys that we maybe have talked about a little bit less, and one of those is Trey Galloway. Just an off night for him, but there was a play that he made. I think this was in the first half. This is when things were going well. Where he basically took the ball from one end and sprinted up the court. Nobody stopped him. Goes coast to coast for a layup. And just that was a moment that it felt like, that it just felt like, all right, maybe everything is, maybe everything's fine. That had gotten it to 25-13 where they had missed. Trace had just scored a couple baskets in a row, and you get that. Race followed that up with a tip in, but for Galloway, I thought offensively the foul trouble just kept him from getting into any kind of rhythm. He made a floater on the baseline. He made that shot. Those were his two baskets of the game. And so I thought, a guy who really could have been important in this one and needed to be there defensively ended up with three assists as well in 25 minutes. But those 25 minutes were so choppy, and really most of those were in the first half. He got his fourth pretty early in the second half. I thought that play was a great example of – kind of what you want Trey in the game for and trying to be able to do that. But unfortunately, those moments for him were few and far between today based on the foul trouble that he got in.
Yeah, and I think it just highlights how important Tamar Bates was in this one, because you just didn't have Trey Galloway being Trey Galloway, and you needed somebody in there, or that's an empty lineup spot. And my meaningful moment piggybacks off of that is with 12:14 left in the second half. We talked about it, but Indiana was down 12 with 12 minutes left on senior day at home, and Tamar Bates hit a huge three-pointer and cut it to 9. And then Trace Jackson Davis, wound up making two free throws. And, then they started to sort of chip away at that lead, got it to 7, then it was 9, then 7, and they just started going back and forth. And that was the first sign of life. That three was the first sign of life from Indiana in a while. And that was the first basket where you felt the arena come alive a little bit, and you felt Indiana start to sort of reassert itself offensively. They traded baskets for a little bit, but that got the offense going. It was that three by Bates.
Yeah, another one that I had, it centered more around his second three-pointer, but it was a defensive possession after that. It was it kind of an absolute mess of a defensive possession, quite honestly. They were scrambling really the entire time. I think it ended with TJD getting a block inside, but it was, at least from an effort standpoint, it really was emblematic of what they started to do down the stretch of the game. And Bates had hit a three to make it 63-62. Michigan gets a possession. Trace eventually gets a block, but there were guys just scrambling on closeouts where they had gotten lost and just trying to cover for one another. But the effort on it, the execution was not good at all, but the effort really made up for it. And I think that was what was frustrating about the Iowa game, frustrating about stretches of this game, was that the effort defensively wasn't there. And on that possession, like I said, it was very emblematic of what they were able to do down the stretch on defense. That carried over late in the game, that carried over into overtime, and that was what they did to beat Michigan the first time. They held them scoreless for a long time at the end of that game, and just thought it seemed like, and again, we go back to the three kind of gives everybody life. The building's going crazy. Yep. You're not playing where you need to be on defense, but you just got where, you know, you just got there and found a way to make a play. And even though Michigan ended up scoring, they scored the next basket a couple possessions later, it still just felt like effort-wise, Indiana made it clear that they were going to, you know, be there and be able to get back in the game. I just thought, you know, that area of the game around there is really when it felt like things started to turn, and that defensive group really started playing well together.
Yeah, they just started responding to what Michigan was doing, and that's when they showed life. And I think that once you show life and you're a home team and there's a team you're facing that has struggled this season, they start questioning themselves. And what you have to do is take that punch from them, and then you have to find a way to punch back. When you punch back, you might stagger them. And I think Indiana did a little bit, and then Michigan's run. And Michigan was going to stop hitting shots at some point. The averages say it didn't against Iowa, but the averages say that they're going to stop hitting those shots at some point, and everything's going to even out. And it started to, and part of that was Indiana's defense, of course, but that's what you have to do. You have to be able to respond. And that's why three-pointer is such a dangerous weapon, because you can go from a team's up 10, they feel comfortable, you hit a shot, now it's 7, feels a little less comfortable. Now they hit another, it's 4. You know, I mean, it's a way to just cut down a run or a comfortable lead so quickly. And I think three-point plays are the same way, obviously, because there's a momentum to making a shot when you get fouled. But hitting those threes really turned this game around for Indiana.
100%. Any other moments that you've got, Ryan? Like I said, I think we hit on a number.
Yeah,
of
I think we covered
time,
them all.
So I think we got that part done. See, we're making up
that pass. Here. That pass from Trace. I mean, we're gonna get credit for Miller for making the long shot, but that pass from Trace was unbelievable in overtime.
Yeah, those are some of the passes. I mean, they were getting open shots in the first half. That's why missing the threes was kind of frustrating. And then it felt like there were times that
there was a lot of open looks missed.
Yeah. Then I think Kopp passed one up after he'd missed a couple. Bates passed one up at some point in the second half to really drive into a tougher shot.
Yeah.
But then he stepped up.
Decide on the shot whether he wanted to bank
it. Nailed the next one. Yeah, do I want to bank it? Do I want to keep going to the basket? Do whatever. And, you know, it's just important for this team. Like, they have good enough shooters to be able to continue shooting, even if you miss a couple. And they were making the right passes in the first half and getting good shots, just struggled to make them. But a good bounce back performance in that regard. All right, so in our effort to make up time as we move forward here, we'll go inside the numbers. And so, you know, statistically, this is an area we've not talked about hardly at all in the game. And Ryan, I'll kind of throw it to you first. What numbers stood out to you, either on the positive or the negative side?
Well, negative, I mean, we've seen it again. Michigan crushed Indiana on the boards. I mean, it was 45 to 36.
Yeah.
You know, they had 13 offensive rebounds. But this is a good one for Indiana. And I mean, it's not overwhelming, but 10 bench points to 2 for Michigan. So you did get some life from the bench today. Points in the paint, 38 to 26 for Indiana as well. So Michigan obviously won the battle at the three-point line, but Indiana was able to do what it does and just hammer the paint. And a lot of that was not only Trace, but Race Thompson having such a good game as well.
Yeah, the offensive rebounds were definitely a concern. It was one possession. Michigan missed 2 threes, got the rebound on both, and eventually hit a third, right after that. And it was just like, it just was deflating at times.
Yeah, when you play great defense and then they get a rebound and make a shot.
They finally miss threes. They're red hot to start the half. They finally miss threes, and you give up 2 offensive rebounds, and then they finally hit a third. I mean, you know, they shoot 33% of the possession, but you end up feeling pretty bad going down the other way. I do think they clean that up a lot as you look late in the game. But in the key stretches where Michigan was coming back, just getting extra opportunities was huge in that regard. And the bench points, as you said, I think for a team that, and still probably some things to lament about the depth today, but I thought you know, Bates' play was huge. Renew got a bucket and a couple free throws and a few rebounds. I thought Caleb Banks played with some good effort again. I think there was a time they had a really weird lineup in where he was essentially like playing the 2-guard spot, which, you know, Michigan has some bigger guards, so I guess maybe that's less of a big deal. But I thought he gave some good effort, which I think we've come to expect from him, which is certainly a good thing. You know, team statistics. I mean, not a lot of good numbers from a shooting perspective. IU shoots 5 of 15 from 3, Michigan 9 of 27, Michigan 12 of 17 from the line, IU 14 out of 21. IU did force 13 turnovers. It turned into 12 points, so a little bit.
And Michigan doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. Michigan doesn't turn the ball over.
I thought they had some moments. And a lot of times when they really were aggressive getting into the post, they were able to force some of those turnovers. We talked about race, and then there was another jump ball that was forced at one point by really digging down and doing some of those things on the defensive end.
One thing I'll note, just to continue hyping up Tamar Bates, and we always have the caveat with plus-minus, but he had the highest plus-minus today. In 23 minutes, he was plus 11. The team was better with him on the floor. I mean, it just was today. And you know, Galloway just not being able to get into the game, I think that hindered him a lot, not being able to get into a rhythm. Like when they brought him back in after he had sat for a long time with four, and they brought him back in, and almost immediately he gets his fifth, and didn't really have much to offer. And it's hard when you're in foul trouble, it's hard to stay in the game and to stay warm and to be ready to go when your number's called. So he and Caleb Banks also plus 8 in 10 minutes. I just, the team was more lively when they were on the floor. And I thought, it's a kudos to them for not having done a whole lot lately and to come step up in a big game. A senior day is centered around the seniors, and this is their sophomore and freshman really stepping up and giving an energy boost to the team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the defensive numbers, 10 steals for IU, including 4 from Race Thompson. So just a 16 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists from him, or 4 steals from him, was critical.
Well, and also, Andy, on that, Michigan had 13 turnovers and 10 of them were steals. These weren't self-inflicted throwing it out of bounds type of things. Indiana was causing those turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably wouldn't be an IU game this year if you didn't talk through Trace Jackson Davis's stat line and the 44 under the minutes played column for him. 27 points, was 10 out of 21 from the floor, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals.
Can you say, man?
I mean, pretty good way for him. Obviously, a good way for him to go out from a winning perspective, but to stuff the stat sheet in the way that he has all season long is just icing on the cake in some regard for him.
Yeah, look, Trace Jackson Davis is the greatest IU career since Calbert Chaney. I don't think there's any question about that at this point. And you look at the numbers he put up consistently this season. The season's not over, but the regular season is. And to go out on his home floor, 27-9-6. Only one foul today, 2 blocks, 2 steals in 44 minutes against Hunter Dickinson, a guy preseason a lot of people thought would be an All-American and NBA draft pick and all of that. You got to look at who it was against too. And he played really well and he stepped up. And these are the kind of games, I think this is the growth in Trace since that run in the Big Ten tournament last year, is these are the kind of guys he used to not have success against, And to be able to do that this year, to have the confidence to go right at these guys who are bigger than him. We saw it against Zach Edey, and we saw it in this one. He's a different guy this year, and he'd been great all 3 years previous, but he's a different guy this year. And this is a great senior season. I mean, one of the best I've seen in college basketball, just given how limited some of the guys are around him in what they can actually provide, not talent-wise, but what they can actually provide. And he just put the team on his back almost every night this year. There are a handful of games that he was off. But the guy just carries this team. And absolutely just a stunning, stunning career. And it's been an honor to get to watch that guy play, honestly, as a fan.
I'm also looking at this. I'm doing this quickly, but I believe in the last 10 minutes of the game, IU only allowed Michigan to make 4 field goals. As we talk about the defense, well, 10 minutes of the game plus overtime, 4 field goals. Sorry. So really the last 15.
And one of them was a Dickinson 3, which at that point you're kind of okay with him shooting. It went in, but yeah. That's the shot he's going to take.
There's, I think, 5 free throws mixed in there, but 4 made field goals over the last 15 minutes of regulation, just to hammer home how good the defense was,
man. So. Effort and focus.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to get to our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Awards. So we'll do that when we come back and talk a little bit more about IU's win. Stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
All right, thank you, Jordan, and this is Andy Bottoms. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm here with Ryan Phillips, and we are talking about Indiana's 75-73 victory over the Michigan Wolverines in overtime on Senior Day for the Hoosiers. And so as we get ready to move forward here, a reminder, you can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. Again, that's join.assemblycall.com. All right, it's now time for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more about them by going to bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all their testing services. That's 23 in honor of TJD. And as has been the case most of the season, the game ball discussion will likely be a short one, although we could, you know, Ryan, as the president of the Rice Thompson fan club, could throw out that option. So, Ryan, I'll give the floor to you first to hand out your game ball.
I'll be honest, Andy, I'm struggling with this one. And I think that we may have to kick it to the chat mob because I think I'm going with Rhys Thompson's double-double tonight and the four steals. And mostly it's because of the four steals he had, where I think three of them were three of the most important plays of the game. And Trace was unbelievable. And if you want to shout at me in the chat, go ahead. I understand. I just got done singing his praises. I think there's two options here for both awards, and one guy gets one guy gets the other. I'm giving it to Rhys Thompson on Senior Day, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 10 rebounds, a double-double, four steals. I just thought the way he played tonight energized the team, and when they made that run late, I thought a lot of it was on Rhys running around defensively. He looked like the Rhys Thompson from last year, and we haven't seen much of that this year. I know he struggled with injuries and all of that, but tonight was vintage Rhys Thompson. And it was that way from the jump. And then I thought that he energized them late again for that big run. So I'm going to go Rhys Thompson. I think I understand if it goes the other way, though.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go with Trace. So we will have to figure out the chat mob to do this. I think I had Rhys already pegged for the Hoosier Hustle Award, which speaks
it's fine
incredibly well to him.
So and the chat mob is going to go with you on the game ball. I just wanted to
I don't know that for sure. It's a little tough to follow. Some people were already going with the Hustle Award when I flipped over there to check it. So anyway, I'm going to go with TJD. We'll let those in the chat mob tabulate things. Seems like mostly TJD game ball race yeah. Hustle Award in the chat as best I can tell, but we'll give it a minute. And see what's going on. But yeah, I mean,
Trace is going to win it. I get it. Totally get it.
Pretty awesome on senior day to have the guys that you would come up first with be those two who have been through it in the front court.
Two guys have been here the longest. The Big Ten,
who have been here the longest and certainly came up huge in this game against a tough and a big front line.
For the hustle, just flip it. I know Race is going to win it, but just flip it because I can't vote for him twice. So, yeah, TJD, I was going to give the hustle to him for 44 minutes and just playing incredible. I mean, for me, it's, you know, if you could pick two players for the game ball, I would have picked them both together. But we can't. We have hard and fast rules here, and we take it very seriously. Sure.
great integrity here. Well, before you transition to the huddle, we got to play the ad. So just sorry. Hang on.
All right.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right. Well, apparently my bad for muting myself because there's some law that's hooked up to it. So thanks to our friends at EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. Sorry about that. As we go forward. All right. So, Ryan, you said you're giving yours to Trace. I'm going to give mine to Race.
And he will win it. It's overwhelming in the chat mob. I peaked. It's
all right. Sounds good. So I will update this here and we will move forward on that. All right. So like I said, good to have those two seniors be the ones who are really up for that. All right. So now we move on. Lingering questions as we head into the Big Ten tournament. One lingering question is, what seed will IU be in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah.
That is to be determined at this point based on what appears to be an absolute rock fight.
Real barn burner at Jersey Mike's Arena.
Formerly known as the Rack. So 25-21 at halftime. Rutgers really scored late in half to close the gap to that.
I know.
I mean, although like to be fair, the IU game was 29-27 at halftime, so I really can't say too much.
And we wonder why the Big Ten has the reputation it has.
Exactly. So, you know, Ryan, what lingering questions stick out for you coming out of this game? IU does get the double bye, which means they've got 4 full days of rest. This team can use it for sure, especially with getting a decent rest leading up to this particular game. But what lingering questions do you have as we head into the Big Ten tournament?
Just utilizing this rest, are they going to be able to do it? You know, I think we've seen a couple times late this season, this team kind of running out of gas in sections of games. I think that had a lot to do with what happened with Michigan. You know, a lot of these guys have played a lot of minutes, and it wears you down. I know they're young college kids, you know, it shouldn't bother them. It does. It wears you the hell down, and it's late in the season and they're still playing a ton of minutes. And especially after this one going overtime, you got Jalen Huchefino playing 40 and Trace playing 44, getting a couple days off is just so valuable. And look, they're going to play a good team no matter who they play in the first round, or their first game, I mean, of the tournament. So it really just depends on what they get, but there are no easy games in the Big Ten, and they're probably going to play one of those teams that's basically tied with them. I guess we'll be one game. The Indiana will be one game up on those teams, but the Big Ten is incredibly deep this year, and you're going to wind up playing a good team. How do you prepare for that? Could get Penn State, who absolutely ran them out of the gym earlier this season. How do you respond to that? I mean, you don't, I don't want to face them again because of their shooting ability. I think it's just like Iowa, very difficult to defend, but we'll see. But the question for me is how rested will they be and how ready to go will they be?
Yeah, I think for me, there's two ways I would go with this. It's a little bit of an interesting debate. There was a question. Well, I guess two things. We'll kind of table. I did see a question in the chat about thoughts on Xavier Johnson's the announcement about him yesterday.
I could say something.
Well, my thought is it's probably a good topic for Thursday.
Yeah, that's true.
If you got
true.
Something Let's quick, you Thursday. Can, but it doesn't totally impact the game today. So might be a good topic for Assembly Call Radio this week to talk to that a little bit. And I think as you look at what's ahead, a lingering question I have is a little bit of how far do you really want to get in the Big Ten tournament? There's so much history with IU and their performance in this tournament. But for a team that doesn't have a lot of guys that are playing right now in the rotation, I'm not saying you want to lose the first game. That is not at all what I'm implying.
No.
I wonder though what a 3-game in 3-day time, set of games would do for a team that has this much mileage on it and has not shown a ton of depth. Now, in tournament settings, you're gonna have to have some of that depth, particularly in the Big Ten tournament. Now you get the NCAA tournament, timeouts are a little bit longer. You've got some things. You can mitigate that a little bit differently than you can where you are right now. So, like you said, there's probably not a ton to gain from IU's perspective in the Big Ten tournament. I think right now, pretty comfortably a 4 seed. Don't really think they would fall from that, really, no matter what would happen in the Big Ten tournament. And given how the committee has viewed tournament results, probably would need some help and would really need to do your damage on Friday if you think you're going to be able to move to a 3 seed.
Yeah. And one note, I think this is going to be a great opportunity to see if Tamar Bates's run of good play today is sustainable. And so I'd like to see him get some minutes, get a longer run in the Big Ten tournament and maybe because he gets comfortable, that's adding a bench slot for you that does something. Get Caleb Banks some run, maybe CJ Gunn, give a longer leash to Malik Renew. I'm not saying play backups and pretend it's an exhibition, but take advantage of the game time to prepare yourself for the tournament that really matters. Now, I know Mike Woodson wants to win the Big Ten tournament. He made that very clear today. He wants to add a banner to the wall, and he wants that to come through the Big Ten tournament. So, I think that you're going to have to utilize those guys and see if is George Geronimo ready to go again. Like he had a really good Big Ten tournament last year. And so see if you can use those guys to maybe take some minutes from Jalen Trevino and from Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. So that's sort of my perspective on it is I'm not saying mail the game in. I'm saying maybe give a longer leash to those backup guys and see if you can get them comfortable playing away from home at a neutral site. Cause you're going to need them in the NCAA tournament. As you said, you're going to need those guys.
Yeah, so I think that's one thing. The other lingering question, I kind of answered that with the same one. I'm sure people have questions from a bracketology perspective about where this puts IU. You know, to me, they were pretty safely on the 4 seed coming into this. This game, while against, would be a quad 2 win, certainly doesn't hurt you, doesn't help you a ton. I don't think it's going to do very much in the metrics because you didn't win by a bigger margin, but, prevents another loss, which is important. Gives you ideally a little bit better draw in the Big Ten tournament. And like I said, I think maybe a chance to move to a 3, but as with always, when it comes to seeding, doesn't just depend on what you do. It depends on what others do around you. So we'll certainly talk more about that as we go through.
Basically, you just want to avoid a 5, right, Andy? Because that's where you play the top lower tier teams that get in. I mean, essentially, that's the theory, though, is you avoid the 5.
Yeah, I mean, this year you'd potentially, assuming that Oral Roberts wins the wins the Summit League, they haven't lost in that league yet. As you go through there, I think Drake, who won the Missouri Valley, will be a 12 seed that's there today. That certainly helps. A lot left to play out from an automatic bid standpoint. Like Liberty probably would have been in that range, lost today to Kennesaw State. So kind of bumped some of the others maybe up a spot that would have been in the 13 range before. So. Interesting to see. Definitely more to come from Coach and the folks at Delphi and myself on that this week as we go forward and look at that. But good to be double buying the Big Ten tournament for first time in a while, at the very least. So, IU certainly with a storied history in that prestigious event. So things can only go well from there. But We'll look forward to that. And then certainly once these couple games are over tonight, although the Wisconsin-Minnesota one doesn't mean anything for IU seeding or who they would play, I don't believe. Certainly keep tabs on that. We'll figure things out. I think if you're the 3 seed, you play the late game on Friday. I think the 2 seed plays like the 6:30 game. I think the 3 seed plays the 9 o'clock game, I want to say. I might be wrong about that. So might be advantageous to be the 2, so you're not having a late night and then
coming back and playing the semifinal.
Yes. You know, late afternoon on Saturday.
That's the theory everybody was kicking around why 2 is better than 3. I mean, you wind up in the same place playing the same. You're playing Northwestern either way if they both advance, yeah. I believe. But getting the 2 makes it so you play later and have more time between games.
Yep, absolutely. All right, you are listening to the Assembly Call IU Postgame Show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And Ryan, it's time for last call. So what's your final thoughts on IU's regular season ending victory over Michigan?
You know, it's, again, I started with leadership. I'm going to finish with leadership. I think that today could have gone really bad. And in the past, it probably would have. But this team's different because it has different leadership and it has different guys setting the example. And all of those guys stepped up late. Miller Kopp made some big shots. Race Thompson was all over the place. Trace Jackson Davis finished his career at finished his Assembly Hall career. Unless somehow we get stuck in the NIT, he will have played his last game at Assembly Hall, and he capped it off as great as he possibly could have. So it was those guys, and it was leaning on those seniors. The next wave for Indiana is going to have to step up in the Big Ten tournament. And so those guys who are going to be around hopefully next year are going to be the key to what happens to this team down the stretch and what happens in March and in the tournaments. But for today, those seniors, they did not want to lose. Regardless of the let up, they wound up bouncing back as strong as they could and cinching this one. So kudos to those guys. It's been a joy to watch all of those seniors, including the guys who were the walk-ons, Ship and Childress. It's been great having them around for 4 years. Miller Kopp gave a great speech, and it's been, you know, he's been a real light in the program, even when he was struggling. And then Race and Trace, man, those guys have been around through it all, through all the awfulness that we have felt alongside with them because we have had to broadcast after some of those games in some rough seasons. And it has been a pleasure to get to watch those guys develop, not just as players, but as human beings. And so I'm really proud of all of them and was very happy to have all 5 of those guys represent my alma mater. And look forward to what's next for them. But the season ain't over, and they have some work to do still. And I'm looking forward to the next couple games.
Yeah, for me, I'll piggyback on that a little bit. I think when you talk about the leadership and the way that it turned this game around, you know, we look back to January 11th. This team's 1-4 in the Big Ten, and lots of conversations about what was going wrong and all of those things. But these guys and this staff helped to go 11-4 over the last 15 Big Ten games to get to 12-8, get to second place. I know everybody wanted to be the Big Ten champs. Season came in. They were the projected favorite. We can talk about conference schedules. We can talk about missed opportunities to win other games and all those things. But, you know, kudos to these guys for being able to turn that around and turn the season into what it's become. I know some might still feel disappointing in some ways, but for this group to really get things back on the road and earn themselves what's likely to be a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, you know, top 2 or 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, I think that says something about what these guys were able to do. And so, you know, kudos to them. And if you look at today's game, man, these guys just deserve to go out in their final game in Assembly Hall as winners, based on what they've done for the program, based on what they've done this year. Based on however many years they had in the program, whether it was, you know, Race, who, you know, kind of said feel like he's been there forever, or a guy like Kopp, who came in after the fact, had always admired the program from afar and talked about some of his struggles from previous years and how he was able to bounce back and really be a leader and a key contributor this season to, as you said, one of the greats at IU. We talked a lot about his legacy on Thursday night. I think there's pieces of that to still be written. But just an amazing representative of the program and a hell of a basketball player that he showed once again today, for sure. So kudos to those guys. Congrats on the win and going out in style. Hopefully there are far more wins to come for this team as we head into a little bit deeper into March. All right. Well, that will do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU Hoops again with you on Thursday night. And until then,
take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go to
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
All right. Ryan, appreciate you being here. So I wasn't alone. So that's
I'm shocked we only came in at an hour and 7 minutes after doing 40 minutes in the first segment. Essentially,
you know, you gotta kind of build stuff up. You know, like I said, we covered so much. We were really
I loved it. It was a great first segment. But
it actually,
you know,
like, just, this
I'm like, oh,
it,
we're headed for this, an hour and a half show.
This one was a journey. So we went on that journey again in the first part, but
it was like it was like a story time.
It was kind of like the Cliff Notes, where we could go back through it for people who didn't, you know, and basically know. So
it's going to be an interesting one to watch back. I'd like to skip about 12 minutes in there, but
I mean 26. I forgot I got up to 12. 26 point swing in like 11 minutes,
eight minutes.
Time. It was like four in the first half and the first maybe like seven of the second half. Not ideal.
Yeah. Not ideal at all. Anyway.
But, hey, they found a way. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, how about Jared Morris saying, hey, I'll be there. Just give me 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jared, it's been an hour and 10 minutes. Not here, buddy. What's going on?
What are you going to do? Coach said he was driving home, so we don't need...
Yeah, Coach has an excuse. He was at the game and he was driving home.
Yeah. So, anyway. But, we'll have Thursday. We can kind of preview as we think about upcoming shows. We'll have Thursday. We can kind of talk through Big Ten tournament, what it means for IU. I think that'd be a good time to dig into the Xavier Johnson thing a little bit.
So Friday will be
either
afternoon
show whenever
or night, right?
I think it's either one is night. I think it's 6:30.
Oh, they're both night.
Are the game times?
Got
but
it.
I'm not
and the
sure
earlier one is the two seed.
Yeah, what I don't know is if that's because it's in Chicago. I'm not sure if that's Central Time or whatever. We'll figure it out. We'll know it all by then.
I will be out on Friday, but I will be in on Thursday.
Okay, so we'll plan all that out, and then I think semifinals are usually Saturday afternoon, like 2
yeah.
and 4 or so.
It is a quick turnaround for those.
Yeah, it's pretty
late
quick
games.
For the late game for sure. So, yeah. Oh well,
I won't even bother trying to figure out when the final is because I've been conditioned by Indiana basketball not to worry about that. But if it happens, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
It'll be later on Sunday, and it will mean absolutely nothing in the grand scheme
absolutely
of the
not.
NCAA tournament seating. So we got that. We got that going for us,
which is nice.
Perfect. So, all right, cool. Well, thanks, Ryan. Thanks everybody for being with us. I know we got a little bit later start, but always like to give people the chance to watch the senior stuff and listen to it ourselves. Certainly something that these guys deserve after what they've given to the program. Although everybody was pretty brief. There have been some historically long ones over the course of time, but everybody's pretty brief.
Yeah.
Tonight, I felt like
Mike
now,
Woodson was the longest winded
now, Race,
one.
Race you would expect because he did it last year, so that seems fair. Yeah. But anyway, so those guys deserve their moment. So
that's right. Race did go last year.
Let
that's
him
right.
Have it. Yeah. I figured he might joke about that himself, but he did not. So
he said, man, I've been here a long time.
He did say that. I bet he said the same thing last year. And everybody still, even last year, nodded along approvingly. It was like, yeah, you actually have.
You have. Be weird if you were here again next year.
Yeah. Wow. So awesome for him to play such a big role in this game, though.
Loved it. I mean, one of my favorite storylines of the year was Race on senior night stepping up. That's awesome. Especially if there's such a struggle this year.
Well, and after the injury where, you know, by his own admission, basically thought, this is it. I'm done. When he got hurt in that Iowa game. So not only to be able to come back, but to play such a key role is pretty awesome.
Awesome.
That's, one of the things about some of these guys, the 4 or 5 year player is a rarity in college basketball these days. It seems like, maybe not exactly these days, given
and
all
a 6 year player is
like
even
that.
Rarer.
But man, it really, I guess that many years at the same place, at the very least, is what the rarity is. And man, just to, that's the thing that kind of draws you into college sports, where you feel like you get to know these guys a little bit and watch them grow and improve. And awesome to see it culminate for them in a and a win at home today.
Agreed. So, all right, awesome. Guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. Chat Mob, appreciate you being here. And we will talk to everybody on Thursday. Thanks.
Later.